As much as 1 and 2 Kings is about the life and the reigns of kings, it is also about the life and the ministry of prophets. And in 1 Kings, we meet prophets like Nathan and Ahijah, Shemaiah, Jehu, and Micaiah. And then in 2 Kings, we meet Jonah, Isaiah, and Huldah. And in both books, there are groups of prophets, 50 and 100, and many of them are unnamed to us. But this morning, we transition from 1 Kings to 2 Kings with the prophetic leadership of Elijah and Elisha. This morning, our scripture comes from 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 to 18. I'm going to invite you to stand in honor of the reading of God's word. Now we take a big jump from 1 Kings 12 all the way to 2 Kings 2. I'll do a little bit of backtracking to fill in some of the gaps, but here we're going to read together in one voice. The scripture's on the screen behind me. 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 to 18. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, the Lord has sent me to Bethel." But Elisha said, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of the prophets at Bethel came out to Elisha and asked, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," Elisha replied, "so be quiet." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, Elisha. The Lord has sent me to Jericho." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went to Jericho. The company of prophets at Jericho went up to Elisha and asked him, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take away your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," he replied, "so be quiet." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So the two of them walked on. 50 men from the company of the prophets went and stood at a distance, facing the place where Elijah and Elisha had stopped at the Jordan. Elijah took his cloak, rolled it up, and struck the water with it. The water divided to the right and to the left, and the two of them crossed over on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me, what can I do for you before I am taken from you?" "Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit," Elisha replied. "You have asked a difficult thing," Elijah said. "Yet if you see me when I am taken from you, it will be yours, otherwise it will not." And as they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and of horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha saw this and cried out, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel." And Elisha saw him no more. Then he took hold of his garment and tore it in two. Elisha then picked up Elijah's cloak that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. He took the cloak that had fallen from Elijah and struck the water with it. "Where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" he asked. When he struck the water, it divided to the right and to the left, and he crossed over. The company of prophets from Jericho who were watching said, "The spirit of Elijah is resting on Elisha." And they went to meet him and bowed to the ground before him. "Look," they said, "we, your servants, have 50 able men. Let them go and look for your master. Perhaps the spirit of the Lord has picked him up and set him down on some other mountain and in some valley." "No," Elisha replied, "do not send them." But they persisted until he was too embarrassed to refuse. So he said, "Send them." And they sent 50 men who searched for 3 days but did not find him. When they returned to Elisha, who was staying in Jericho, he said to them, "Didn't I tell you not to go?" Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. 2 Kings chapter 2, Lord, we thank you for the prophet Elijah and Elisha. And I pray that you teach us something about the power of the Holy Spirit today. Teach us about the necessity of the Spirit, the power of the Spirit to do the miraculous things, God. Teach us about that transfer from one generation to the next generation. Help us to not just live in the present. Help us to think about the future. So, God, I'm praying that you speak to our hearts today. Lord, I cannot preach without the power of your Spirit coming upon me, coming upon your word and performing it in the lives of these people here today. We need your Spirit, oh God. Come in a powerful way and descend upon this place and every believer here, that when we leave this place, all of us can say, we have met with the living God. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said, amen. You may be seated. Have you realized that there are some things in life that are taught and there are other things that are caught? I would suggest to you today that this sermon is meant to be taught, but at the same time, it is a sermon that is meant to be caught. And how do I know? Well, the answer is found here in the story between Elijah and Elisha. Unfortunately, we're not privy to many of the conversations that took place between these two men, the lessons and the hands-on mentoring. But I sense there's a void here. And in the midst of this void, I would venture to say that Elisha learned what prophets do and what prophets don't do by observing Elijah's example. We are examples. People watch us. People study our behavior. All we know is that Elisha followed Elijah everywhere he went as a servant before becoming a prophet himself. However, not only was Elisha taught what it was meant to be a prophet, Elisha caught the spirit of the prophet. There was a transference of anointing from Elijah to Elisha, making him the successor of a prophetic ministry. I believe today there is a transfer coming from the Holy Spirit that you can receive power from on high and you can do extraordinary prophetic things today. Prophetic leaders think about succession because they are future-oriented. For example, let me ask this morning, how many people have prepared a will? Why don't you raise your hand if you prepared a will? Some hands, not all hands. If yes, you have taken actual time to sit down and think about who will inherit your estate. If your answer was no today, some of you might actually be thinking to yourself, what estate? Or perhaps you don't have children to pass this on to. Or you might be dissuaded by the cost involved in getting the document notarized. And just like, no thank you, we'll just see what happens. I still have more years ahead. I can think about that a little bit later. See, creating a will is like being a prophetic leader. It's about thinking about the future yet now. And unfortunately, it's become a sad thing to think about our retirement. It's become a sad thing to think about who will replace us. Even a morbid thing to think about when it comes to our death and our departure from this world. We need to ask ourselves a few questions this morning. Who am I mentoring? And what can I impart? What can I transfer to another person? This morning I want to teach you, and I also want you to catch three things that we find in 2 Kings 2, verses 1 to 18, without which we will never enter that prophetic leadership that God is calling us to. First point this morning is a determined persistence, verses 1 to 6. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. And Elisha said to Elisha, "Stay here. The Lord has sent me to Bethel." But Elisha said, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. And the company of the prophets at Bethel came out to Elisha and asked, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," Elisha replied. "So be quiet." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, Elisha. The Lord has sent me to Jericho." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." And so they went to Jericho. The company of the prophets at Jericho went up to Elisha and asked him, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," he replied. "So be quiet." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So the two of them walked on. Persistence. What would you do if you knew that it was going to be your last day on earth? Many of us would do all sorts of things. We'd do things on our bucket list. We'd do things with our family or with our friends. For Elijah, he spent the last 24 hours of his life fulfilling the prophetic assignment that God had given him and sending him to these various locations for reasons that we don't really know. He traveled from Gilgal to Bethel to Jericho to Jordan, and yet we don't know why. It seemed that Elisha and the company of prophets, all 50 of them, seemed to know that something was going to happen today. Elijah was about to be taken from their presence. His departure was imminent at any moment in time. This was not only private information, this was public information. The only thing they did not know was exactly how he would depart from them. And three times Elijah asked Elisha to stay here, but Elisha replied by persistently saying, "I will not leave you." Was it that Elijah was trying to ditch Elisha, not wanting him to succeed him as the next prophet in line? Was it a test to see if Elisha really wanted to be that successor to him? All we know is that it was not going to be automatic. There was something more that Elijah and Elisha had to experience together in these last moments of his life. So why did Elisha commit to staying so close to Elijah? Well, earlier in the scripture, in 1 Kings, we learned that Elijah was prone to disappearing. He was a Houdini. He would just disappear all of a sudden. A man named Obadiah, described as a devout believer in the Lord, not to be mistaken with the prophet Obadiah, he reveals his fear in 1 Kings 18, 11 to 12. "But now you tell me," saying to Elijah, "but now you tell me to go to my master and say, 'Elijah is here,' and I don't know where the Spirit of the Lord may carry you when I leave." King Ahab had previously sent people to search throughout all the land for this man, Elijah, this prophet, but he was nowhere to be found. Obadiah alerts us to the fact that he could be easily carried away by the Spirit from one place to another spirit. I mean, talk about teleportation. It's the real deal. Better than Star Trek. We also saw in 1 Kings 18:48 how Elijah outran Ahab's chariot because the hand of the Lord was upon him. You see, when the Spirit of the Lord is upon you, you can do some crazy and extraordinary things, things that not average people can do. We see something similar when Philip the evangelist is carried away by the Spirit after baptizing the Ethiopian eunuch on the road. Acts 8:39 records, "And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing." This happens. Elijah was the kind of person you just didn't want to leave out of your sight. Today, I really think we're missing persistence. We're missing persistence, the desire to not give up prematurely when we do not like the answer we receive. A healthy rebuttal can often reveal our true character. See, Elisha was loyal to his master, Elijah. And if he was called to serve him, he would serve him until the very end. This serves as a reminder to us today, especially to those who are seniors in the room today, that we are on assignment until the very end of our life. There's no retirement from serving the Lord. And so if you're a senior in this place, I want to remind you, you have a purpose to fulfill. You're not done yet. God has an assignment on your life that you need to complete. Looking into your eyes, look back into my eyes. Without loyalty, we can never receive the prophetic impartation from one leader to the next leader. And we need to inherit something from the previous generation. We need to receive that spirit from one to another. The question is, who are you persistently following? Well, there's a picture on the screen. You'll see it. I've been looking forward to telling you the story for a long, long time. I have been the beneficiary of the ministry of Chiclets and Tic Tacs. Let me explain. When I was a child, around the age of 4, I would be walking around the church and I would follow my pastors around like a shadow. Whether they liked it or they didn't like it, I was there. The lead pastor always had Chiclets in his pocket. The associate pastor always had Tic Tacs in his pocket. And I learned that this was an important ministry tool to have on hand, as you never know when you'll need to pray for somebody, and the worst thing you could ever do was have bad breath. So I followed them. I followed them wherever they went, before service and after service, even in between service, hoping that they would supply me with my Sunday stash of candy. But what they gave me was much more than candy, because I wanted to be where they were. I wanted to do what they could do. I became their shadow. And in doing so, I saw through the eyes of a child what it meant to be a pastor. And now think about it for a moment. Think about what I'm doing today. I don't think it's a coincidence. I think it's God's divine purpose. See, that's the ministry of Chiclets and Tic Tacs. Some of you need to carry that stash and just give it away. But that's exactly what the scripture is asking us to do, isn't it? To give away our spirit, to give away our skills and our resources to others. Who is persistently following you? The first question I asked you is, who are you persistently following? Who is following you? God has something he wants you to impart to others in this lifetime so that they can carry on whatever you leave behind. Second point this morning is a double portion, verses 7 to 14. 50 men from the company of the prophets went and stood at a distance facing the place where Elijah and Elisha had stopped at the Jordan. And Elijah took his cloak, rolled it up, and struck the water with it. And the water divided to the right and to the left, and the two of them crossed over onto dry ground. And when they crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me, what can I do for you before I'm taken from you? Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit," Elisha replied. "You've asked a very difficult thing," Elijah said. "If you see me when I am taken from you, it will be yours. Otherwise, it will not." And as they are walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. And Elisha saw this and cried out, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel." And Elisha saw him no more. Then he took hold of his garment and tore it into two. And Elisha then picked up Elijah's cloak that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. He took the cloak that he had fallen from Elijah and struck the water with it. "Where now is the Lord, the God of Israel?" he asked. And when he struck the water, it divided to the right and to the left, and he crossed over. If there's one trait that you could ask for from a person, what trait would that be? Should not be their good looks, should not be their personality. Instead of their trait of a person, instead perhaps we should ask for the spirit of a person. Now, don't get this wrong. I'm not trying to talk about this in a spooky way or even in a covetous way. In the context of the scripture, it has nothing specifically to do with Elijah, but it has everything to do with the Holy Spirit that is upon Elijah. So you can do what other spirit-empowered people do if that same Holy Spirit is at work in you. Later, we find a greater statement, Romans 8:11, when the Apostle Paul says, "The same Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you." Same Spirit. Same Spirit alive at that time in Elijah and Elisha. Same Spirit alive in you and I. Well, what does Elisha really mean when he asked for a double portion of Elijah's spirit? In Jewish culture, the firstborn was the heir to a double portion of the inheritance and would become the carrier of the family line for another generation. But this is not his biological son. Elijah was much more than a mentoring prophet to Elisha. He was the spiritual father to Elisha. Let's flash back to the moment when Elijah and Elisha met for the first time in 1 Kings 19:19-21. The scripture says, "So Elijah went from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat, and he was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. And Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. And Elisha then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. 'Let me kiss my father and mother goodbye,' he said, 'and then I will come with you.' He said, 'Go back.' Elijah replied, 'What have I done to you?' So Elisha left him and went back, and he took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat and gave it to the people, and they ate. And then he set out to follow Elijah and became his servant. Elisha had left all of his farming. Elisha had left all of his family in order to follow the call of God upon his life. In fact, he forfeited a physical inheritance in exchange for a spiritual inheritance. How many know that we're living in a world that is absent of spiritual parenthood? I mean, we live in a world where parents aren't doing their job with their own children. Furthermore, we're living in a world where we are not parenting the next generation. We are not imparting something to the next. Malachi 4:6, a scripture often used of spiritual fathers and mothers in relation to spiritual sons and daughters, offers this prophetic promise. He will turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the hearts of the children to their parents. Elisha had to earnestly want what Elijah had, and Elijah had to earnestly give what Elisha didn't have. And I think the problem is this, that the older generation is waiting for someone younger to ask them for their spirit, and the younger generation is waiting for somebody older to offer them their spirit. And we actually want the same thing, but we're at an impasse unless we start communicating with each other and having this moment of intergenerational impartation of a prophetic ministry. In a matter of seconds after Elisha witnessed Elijah being caught up in a whirlwind to heaven, Elisha could do what Elijah did. I love it. Elisha picked up Elijah's cloak. He struck the water and it divided, just as Elijah had done previously, to validate that he was Elijah's successor. My question to you today is, does anybody in this place want a double portion of the Spirit of God? Let me ask you again. Does anybody in this place want a double portion of the Spirit of God? I know I want it. Too many of us are operating less than what we should be operating in. We know the Spirit. It lives inside of us because Christ lives within us. But we have not been functioning in the way we are called to function. We need a double portion of the Spirit of God to come upon us so we can do things that prophets like Elijah and Elisha did. Miracles, signs, wonders will accompany those who believe. Third, this morning, a different perspective, verses 15 to 18. The company of prophets from Jericho who were watching said, "The spirit of Elijah is resting on Elisha." And they went to meet him and bowed to the ground before him. "Look," they said, "we, your servants, have 50 able men. Let them go and look for your master. Perhaps the spirit of the Lord has picked him up and set him down on some mountain or in some valley." "No," Elisha replied, "do not send them." But they persisted until he was too embarrassed to refuse. So he said, "Send them." And they sent 50 men who searched for 3 days but did not find him. And when they returned to Elisha, who was staying in Jericho, he said, and I paraphrase, "Told you so." As witnesses of Elisha crossing the Jordan, but not of Elijah being caught up in the whirlwind, the company of prophets affirmed that indeed the spirit of Elijah was now resting upon Elisha. What we quickly see is that there was a significant difference between the prophetic perspective of this company of prophets and then Elisha the prophet. They were operating in two different ways. They were thinking on two different wavelengths. 50 prophets thought Elijah had been transported, but they didn't realize that he had been taken to heaven. See, only one other man in the biblical record did not die, and his name is Enoch. In Genesis 5:24, we read, "Enoch walked faithfully with God, then he was no more, because God took him away." Similarly, in 2 Kings 2:12, we read, "And Elisha saw him no more." See, the Spirit causes us to see what other people could not see. This is the advantage of prophetic perspective. It allows you to see things in the supernatural rather than just in the natural. Now, you and I elevate this company of prophets in our mind. The moment you use the word prophet, you think somebody special. That's what happens when we read the Bible. But they were not always operating in the power of the Spirit. You see, they were not masters. They were students. They were part of a guild that were trying to master their prophetic gifts. And the Spirit would come upon them suddenly, and they would speak something inspired by the Spirit, and then the Spirit would depart from them suddenly. In other words, they were just like us. And as a church, we need to learn more about how to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. I'm so thankful that we are not limited to spontaneous experiences of the Spirit like the 50 prophets, but that we can have the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit just like Elisha had. And the 50 prophets wanted to send out a search party for someone who they did not realize could not be found. And at first, Elisha said no to the idea, but because of their persistence and his embarrassment, he released them to search for 3 days until they realized for themselves that Elisha was right. Elijah was gone. And as the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, friends, we live by faith and not by sight. So today I ask you, are you seeing in the natural with the natural eye or in the supernatural through the eyes of faith? Friends, perhaps we need a perspective change. Perhaps we need to start seeing things God's way instead of our way. And when we get God's vision on the matter, we'll know exactly what to do because His Spirit is alive and at work within us. My prayer is for the Spirit to enable us to see things from God's point of view. As we conclude this morning, as the worship team prepares to come, as I was preparing all week, I was suddenly arrested in my office thinking about something. I wasn't arrested, you know what I mean? I was arrested by the Spirit of God, I think. And I sensed this exhortation that I think is for our church. If you'd hear it today and you'd weigh the words that I share with you, been brewing in my own spirit for a while in regards to where we are in the life of our church. I've shared it with the pastors, I've shared it with the elders and with the deacons at various times in various ways. Here's the thing, I'm worried about the state of the church in regards to the state of Pentecostal churches, PAC churches. For varied reasons, we have been neglecting the role of the Spirit. And today I'm calling you, it's a clarion call, to return to the Pentecostal distinctives that this church is founded upon. That means we desperately need to return and seek the power of the Spirit and operate in the power of the Spirit to be everything God wants us to be, everything. This is not just part of our history. This is not just part of our past. This is something for our present and something taking us towards the future. We've been too conservative because we've been scared by the messiness. We've been scared by the malpractice that we've seen in the past. And I know that we've really become people of the Word, but can I tell you, we need to become people of the Spirit as well. We're people of the Word and Spirit. And if we want to go to the next level as a church, it starts with an openness and an availability of each and every one of us to go after the Spirit, to seek the things of God. So as we conclude the service this morning, there is no illustration. There is no story. There is no video. I cannot show you anything that will inspire you to seek the Spirit. That something has to happen inside of you, in your heart, and in your mind. See, my goal as a pastor is not always to entertain you and to make you leave feeling really good about yourself. I want you to experience the power of the Holy Spirit for yourself. And while I know worship is such a big part of this, it begins with our openness. So as Pastor Joel and the team lead us in worship, I'm going to invite you to stand.